This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Okay, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, as-salatu was-salam ala ashraf al-anbiya wal-mursaleen wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'een amma ba'd. Ayyuhal ikhwa, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah wa ba'd. Wa nas'alullaha ta'ala an yataqabbal minna wa yaghfir lana dhunubana wa yukaffir anna sayyi'atina nas'aluhu bi'ilmin nafi' wa rizqin wasi'. وعليه نتوكل وإليه المصير ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. Praise be to Allah, Lord of the worlds. Peace and blessings on His final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. After saying salam to you, brothers and sisters, we ask Allah to accept from us, to blot out our sins, to forgive us, shower His mercy upon us, and to give us beneficial knowledge and understanding and wide sustenance. On Him we are utterly dependent, and to Him is our return. So this is hopefully if we get through it, another session to do with hadith number 25, which is a hadith of reported by Abi Dharr. Just quickly remind you of it, a lot to get through. And Abi Dharr radiallahu anhu qal, أن ناس من أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قالوا. He says that some of the companions of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, they said للنبي, to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, يا رسول الله, O Messenger of Allah, ذهب أهل الدسور بالأجور يصلون كما نصلي ويصومون كما نصوم ويتصدقون بفضول أموالهم. They said, the affluent, the rich people have run away with all the rewards. They pray as we pray. They fast as we fast. Yet they give off their superfluous extra wealth, in sadaqah, in charity. Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, أَوَلَيْسَ قَدَ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ مَا تَصَدَّقُونَ. Has Allah not made something that for you that you can give in charity? Inna, surely, بكل تسبيحة صدقة وكل تحليلة صدقة وكل تكبيرة صدقة وكل تحميدة صدقة وأمر بالمعروف صدقة ونهي عن المنكر صدقة وفي بضع أحدكم صدقة. Surely in every subhanallah is a charity. In every saying Allahu Akbar is a charity. In every Alhamdulillah is a charity. In every La ilaha illallah is a charity. And standing for that which is right and just, in that is a charity. And preventing, standing against that which is evil and wrong, in that is a charity. And in the sexual act of each one of you, in that is a charity. Qalu, they said, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, أَيَأْتِ أَحْدُنَا شَهْوَتَهُ وَيَكُونُ لَهُ فِيهَا أَجْرٌ. Are you saying that one of us comes to fulfill his desire and that he has a charity in that? And there's a charity in that? قَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. He said, أَرَأَيْتُمْ لَوْ وَدَعَهَا فِي حَرَامٍ. Do you realize that if he was to place that, meaning do the sexual act, in a prohibited manner, haram way, akana alayhi wizr, would there not be sin on him or her? فَكَذَلِكَ إِذَا وَدَعَهَا فِي الْحَلَالِ كَانَ لَهُ أَجْرٌ. Thus, if he was to do it in a halal way, there will be reward for him. Here, the Prophet used the word, not كَانَ لَهُ صَدَقَ, كَانَ لَهُ أَجْرٌ. There will be reward from him. That gives you the meaning of what sadaqah means. So we've contemplated some aspects of this hadith before. If we look at this hadith, and you've got to get the message and the spirit of it, the spirit from the Sahaba when they're coming forward to ask the question. And I said last time, it's to do with people who are poor from the Sahaba, not the rich ones here. And hence the guidance must be put in that context. The spirit of coming forward, of wanting to do more, or wanting to get more rewards, yeah, to try and make sure to please Allah before the Day of Judgment, because they know the currency on the Day of Judgment will be good deeds. Yeah, sadaqah is in that sense being used here. And that's what's going to count. So they're coming with a fervor to do more. Yeah. And in other words, reality is, as I mentioned about it before, they have a desire that if they had the money like the rich Sahaba, they would also be wanting to give in charity to increase the number of rewards for themselves to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. See, that's what the intention behind it all is. And that is why we're mentioning this hadith. It's so that we are affected, and we hope and pray to Allah that we have that fervent desire from our iman to be like that. Yeah, they are the examples for us, the Sahaba, from the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They are emulating and exemplifying the teachings of the Quran and the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is to remind us to have that fervor as well throughout our lives. In all our lives revolve around this, because we are this is what our life is about as believers. All of it revolves around, what can I do? What can I do today for the hereafter? Yeah. And that reminders, that idea is constantly with us. So that's a reminder about the whole essence of this hadith, and the one coming after this as well, is about that revolving around trying to do as much as possible before time runs out. Yeah, that's what the idea is. And may Allah make us of that same fervor and same desire as the Sahaba that's exemplified about them in the Quran and in other hadith, including this hadith. And before I carry on where we left off, which was the kinds of sadaqah that Imam Ibn Rajab had mentioned, here this hadith actually is talking about the kind of sadaqah that Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is recommending, which is non-material. Well, of course it is, isn't it? Because they're saying we haven't got the kind of wealthy rich. So there's a poor ones coming. So Prophet ﷺ giving them advice about sadaqah, which is non-material kind of charity and deeds, which are going to be like sadaqah and therefore give you reward. That's what the essence is here. Nevertheless, we need to mention something about charity and giving in a material sense as well, yeah, because that's indicated in the hadith, because the Sahaba correctly are saying, the poor ones, the rich believers have run away with all the rewards. That's telling you there's loads of rewards in actually being rich, because they are giving, وَيَتَصَدَّقُونَ بِفُدُولِ أَمْوَالِهِمْ, and they are giving out charity to others, helping others with the excess, yeah, from their material wealth, yeah, material wealth. So there's the indication of and the importance of that as well, the importance of that as well. And the spirit of Islam is really brought out of iman, and that's why we're going to come to a hadith later on. Part of it, one of the comments of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says in that, was sadaqatu burhan, that charity is a proof. Charity is a proof. A proof for a believer. A proof in what sense? Because giving, yeah, our normal desire is to keep. But giving, yeah, is a proof of the belief in Allah that this giving is going to be multiplied 10 to 700 times or even more. And I'm doing it because of that, and I want the rewards in the hereafter by pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why charity is the proof of that. And I've often said for years now that the essence of Islam that can, after belief, the real essence of Islam and a believer is about giving to others. Yeah, not giving zulm and tyranny and swearing and cheating and deceiving and nastiness to others. I don't mean that. You know what I mean by mean giving to others. And that's giving in a material sense, and as we'll see, in a non-material sense as well. What is non-material come to? But it's the essence of Islam is what we give and share with others is the good deeds that will multiply and come back to us. In other words, it's about, what would you say? Selflessness, isn't it? It's about selflessness. It's not about selfishness. Yeah, that's materialism. And that's about shaitan. Shaitan is about himself. Greed, avarice, me. The society that's surrounding us generally becoming more and more like that. But Islam, the submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wants to bring the best of human beings. Yeah, and it is only done through Iman. And that's very important to remember, by believing in Allah and the messenger who is the best exemplifier. You cannot remove that and then hope to achieve success in the hereafter. It's not possible, impossible. And this is very important for us to understand, especially now we have a society because of materialism and atheism, the following of Shaitan, no doubt about that. Because it's making oneself into God, which is what Shaitan did as well. He made himself the decider to say who he should bow down to and who he should not bow down to out of pure arrogance. So when we have a society like that, nowadays they don't want to mention God. So they've even come scientifically to the conclusion through psychology and the kind of tests and trials that actually to give to others and give charity is psychologically good for you. Yeah. Why? Because it makes you feel good. You'll be a happier person. Yeah. That's not the reason we do it. This is very important to understand. If we reduce it to base value, which is just the animal, this is what they're trying to do. I don't need that kind of argument. Allah and His Messenger have already, through my belief, taught me that I don't give to others so I can feel happy, because that's my motive then. And if I get that, I get nothing else. My motive is much higher than that. It's metaphysical. It is linked to the reality of Allah and His existence and who sent me here and who I'm going to return to and the existence of day of judgment, paradise and hell. Yeah. So you see, there's a massive difference in a whole orientation towards life. Yeah, you can have two people giving, but the reality, one's giving for a different motive, another's giving for the motive. And the motive is God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, glory be to Him Himself. Who are we going to go back to? Who gave us everything in the first place? This is important to understand. So in regards to giving of from the wealth as well, it's showing you the selflessness of believers. And this is indicated in Quran and Hadith as well, about that wealth can be reduced to that which we eat, that which we wear, that which we wear out and use up. That's all gone. What carries on is what we've given to others. What that stays. Yeah, that stays. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His generosity and mercy, also made it that even though we are not only encouraged, there's an obligatory part of giving wealth, which is zakah, yeah? But aside from that, there's an encouragement to give to others, yeah? And to be charitable, yeah? Voluntarily. Even though it's voluntarily, there's a whole, what can I say? The ethos of this deen is that we only need to be encouraged and pushed a little, and it should bring and make us desirous of giving to others. Yeah. And despite the situation of giving, and therefore, we have many hadiths about giving is not the same as taking. So the upper hand is not the same as the lower hand. This is a metaphor. Because the upper hand is the giving hand. The lower hand is the taking hand. Taking is not the same as giving. In fact, taking is negative, begging and taking from others, especially if you, unless you're in the three categories Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, the hadith I mentioned to you many times before. And basically those who are in serious debt or lost everything, etc., only they've been given an excuse to go and beg so that the situation gets better than to stop. Otherwise, begging is haram. But that's not for the giver. The giver is not to treat that person, a beggar, even if they don't need it, like kicking them around and telling them it's haram, but they're to give. Yeah, leave that between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in that regard, a few hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, for example, in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says from Ibn Umar, Ibn Umar says, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said when he was on the minbar, meaning giving khutbah in the masjid, وَهُوَ يَذْكُرُ الصَّدَقَةَ, and he was mentioning giving charity, وَالتَّعَفُّفْ عَنِ الْمَسْأَلَةَ, and abstaining from begging. And he said, الْيَدُ الْعُلْيَا خَيْرٌ مِنَ الْيَدِ السُّفْلَى, the upper hand is better than the lower hand, the begging hand, in other words. وَالْيَدُ الْعُلْيَا مُنْفِقَةَ, the upper hand is the spending hand, وَالسُّفْلَ سَائِلَ, and the bottom hand is the begging hand. So this is hadith in these various versions of it, in Bukhari, Muslim, and other places as well. Another one says, in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, أَفْضُلُ الصَّدَقَةَ أَوْ خَيْرُ الصَّدَقَةَ, the best of charity, giving in charity, yeah, or the most virtuous, is أَنْ ظَهْرِ غِنًا, is that which leaves a person well off still. This is beautiful, this. Encouragement to give zakah and to give voluntarily, yeah, but the best is you don't leave yourself in a difficult situation, or you leave your family in a difficult situation, that they go around begging after that because you've given everything away. So the best is not to give everything away and then you'll sit there like beggars. The best is to give, yeah, to give, and the Prophet I'm saying is that which leaves you still with enough and well off, in other words. Well, liyadul ulya, and he said the same thing again, the upper hand is better than the lower hand. And then he says something very interesting. Wabda'u biman ta'ul, and begin with those that you are responsible for. Those that you're responsible for. So even charity, you know, they say charity begins at home. Well, that's the idea from many, many ahadith of the Prophet ﷺ of charity beginning with home. You're not to jump over your family, your wife, and your dependents, whoever they may be, and give to others while they are needy. Yeah. It starts with those who are you are responsible for first, and when you have something left over to give to others as well. Of course, this is a relative thing, and not then there's the idea of getting carried away and being spendthrift on you and your family only, and never having anything, even though you have wealth to give to others, because you are trying to justify that you never have anything spare. But there's something called going to excess. That's not being that's not the meaning here. Yeah. And then in another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Yabna Adam, innaka an tabdhul al-fadl khayrun laka wa an tumsikahu sharrun lak." Oh, child of Adam, surely it is better for you, yeah, to spend of your surplus wealth. Yeah. But if you withhold it, it is bad for you, it is evil for you. So you got surplus wealth just sitting around where it could be helping others. Wala tulam ala kafafin, and there's no blame There's no blame or reproach to withhold that which is needed for living. If you're saving some money for a rainy day, something like that, that's what it means. There's no blame. Yeah. Otherwise, generally, the idea is surplus to give to others. Then Prophet still says, "Wabda biman ta'ud," and begin when you're giving to others with the one that you are responsible for. And then again, "Wal yadul ulya khayru min al yadi sufla," and the upper hand is better than the lower hand. And the idea of not begging and not depending on people, but working hard to try and earn, is being encouraged here in hadith of the Prophet ﷺ in Sahih Muslim from Abu Huraira. The Prophet ﷺ said, لِأَنْ يَغْدُوَ أَهْدُكُمْ فَيَخْطِبَ عَلَىٰ ظَهْرِهِ فَيَتَصَدَّقَ بِهِ وَيَسْتَغْنِي بِهِ مِنَ النَّاسِ خَيْرٌ لَهُ مِنْ أَنْ يَسْأَلَ رَجُلًا أَعْطَاهُ أَوْ مَنَعَهُ ذَلِكَ فَإِنَّ الْيَدُ الْعُلْيَا أَفْضَلُ مِنَ الْيَدِ السُّفْلَى وَابْدَعُ بِمَنْ تَعُودُ. Same kind of thing, but more details from a different angle now. Prophet ﷺ said, it is better for one of you that he goes out and he carries on his back firewood. Yeah? Yeah? And gives charity out of it. In other words, he works carrying firewood, makes money out of it, and then he gives charity out of that. And that he is independent of people. In other words, not begging. Minan nas. That is better for the person instead of begging another person who either gives him something or he denies him, just walks by. Like, you know, when you walk past a beggar, either you give it or you don't give it. ذَلِكَ أَمَنَهُ ذَلِكَ فَإِنَّ الْيَدْ, surely the upper hand is better than the lower hand. And begin with, when you're giving charity, begin with the ones that you are, who are your dependents. Again, that idea being brought out. There's various, I don't mention all of them, but Prophet Sassam mentioning the same idea, upper hand, lower hand, lots of hadith on that. And here another one in Prophet Sassam saying, hadith in Muslim saying, أَفْضُلُ دِنَارْ يُنْفِقُهُ الرَّجُلْ دِنَارٌ يُنْفِقُهُ عَلَىٰ عِيَالِهِ. The best of money, dinar, of course, is the currency of the time, gold dinar. The best is the one that is spent by a person that he spends on his dependents, yeah, on his family. Best dinar, subhanAllah. Allah so merciful. You know, sometimes we get the idea that because there your obligation and priority is to begin there. If you don't look after your obligation as a husband and as a father, then the outside people are not responsible. They're secondarily responsible. You are the first to be responsible. Yeah. So here it's important to mention something. Even though the Prophet ﷺ mentioning in various ahadith sadaqah, sadaqah is not necessarily mean voluntary charity, because sadaqah in the Quran and Sunnah can actually mean obligatory zakah as well, the same word. And also it has the meaning in it included of that which is an obligation on you, still seen mentioned the word sadaqah, and that which you give voluntarily and extra to others voluntarily, that's also under the word sadaqah. Yeah. So don't get confused with the idea of sadaqah. As I said at the beginning, that this hadith we're dealing with now actually means a rewardable deed where you are giving. You are rewarded for it. That's what it implies here. Yeah? It's counted like a charity, even though you may be doing an obligatory act, which is a sadaqah for you. Yeah? Because looking after my, providing for my family is actually an obligation on a husband and a father, is it not? Yeah. But sadaqah, the words used here, begin with the ones you are responsible for, because it's obligatory for you. In other words, you're going to get reward for it, even though it's an obligation on you. وَدِنَارٌ يُنْفِقُهُ الرَّجُلُ عَلَى دَابَّتِهِ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. And after that, a dinar or money, that wealth that he or she spends on his animal in the way of Allah. You know, this is riding animal used for good, and you can apply it to nowadays to petrol for cars, for doing charity work, helping somebody, all that kind of thing. Or a dinar, وَدِنَارُ يُنْفِقُهُ أَصْحَابِهِ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Or a dinar that he or she spends on his companions, yeah, in the way of Allah. So you're out in a good cause, yeah. In the way of Allah means anything that is positive and good and helping others. So money spent in that way on even companions who are doing that. And this is, I wanted to mention this to these. It's two more I want to mention. One is, no, there's two or three beautiful ones actually I'd like to mention here. This one. In Sahih al-Bukhari, yeah, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّكَ لَن تُنْفِقَ نَفَقَةً تَبْتَغِي بِهَا وَجْهَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا أُجِرْتَ عَلَيْهَا. Surely, there's nothing that you will spend, yeah, nothing that you will spend when you're spending it, seeking by it the face of Allah, except that you will be rewarded, illa ujirta alayha, that you will be rewarded upon it. Hatta even ma taj'alu fi fami imra'atik. Yeah, even the morsel of food that you put in your wife's mouth. Yeah, beautiful hadith this. Some of you may have heard of it before. Morsel of food. Yes, the husband's there for provision, but look how beautiful this is mentioning about putting the food actually in the wife's mouth in a loving way. And that's that you're rewarded for that. Yeah. One aspect, of course, is that you are responsible for the expenditure of the your wife, the food costs, etc. But beyond that, you are doing something which is loving and kind and actually putting it in her mouth. It doesn't mean to say you feed her day and night like that, but no, it's using it at a giving a beautiful picture of kindness and love. And actually, what about if the wife puts a morsel of food in the husband's mouth? Is that rewarded? Of course it is, but she's not responsible for the cost of the food. There's the difference. Yeah, one has an obligation. The other is extra doing, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards that kind of behavior and act. And this is a hadith in Sahih Muslim. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ma min muslimin yaghrisu gharsan illa kana مَا أُكِلَ مِنْهُ لَهُ صَدَقَةٌ وَمَا سُرِكَ مِنْهُ لَهُ صَدَقَةٌ وَمَا أَكَلَ السَّبُ مِنْهُ فَهُوَ لَهُ صَدَقَةٌ أَكَلَتِ الطَّيْرُ فَهُوَ لَهُ صَدَقَةٌ وَلَا يَرْزَأُهُ أَحَدٌ إِلَّا كَانَ لَهُ صَدَقَةٌ. Yeah, never does a Muslim plant a plant or a tree except that he or she has the reward of charity from it. How? For what is eaten out of it, from it, is a charity. So anybody taking anything, benefiting from the fruit or the vegetable or the plant that somebody's put, yeah, in that is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying is a sadaqah. Yeah. And what is stolen from it, in it, is a sadaqah for the one who planted it. Subhanallah. Yeah. Somebody goes by and steal the vegetable, steal the fruit, But for the person who planted it, it is rewardable. And even the beasts, what the animals eat from it, from that what's been planted, yeah, becomes a charity for the one who planted it. And the birds that eat from it, it's a charity, sadaqah for the one. Yeah, see all the rewards piling up. Yeah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, none incurs a loss. Even any damage or any loss, like somebody stealing, still all the time is giving benefit to actually the person who planted the plant, the vegetable, the fruit, or the tree, etc. So I mentioned those hadith because I thought they were a beautiful reminder of how and an encouragement of giving to others and yet being rewarded for and the importance of beginning with those that are the dependents. Now, so that was really covering again material, those who had the material means. Most of these hadith had to do with material means, and perhaps the only one was the one planting wise, etc., which is still some sort of material. If you don't even have a plant to plant, as the poor sahaba came, we're talking about a different context. So when we say the context of this hadith, that there is a sadaqah which is of two kinds, as Ibn Rajab mentioned, which is non-wealth related. Yeah, which is non-wealth related. It is not material. One kind is to do with you are giving benefit to others. Yeah, it is a sadaqah, which is ihsan going beyond you to others. Yeah. And the second category is a sadaqah, which is benefiting you. Yeah, which you are benefiting from yourself. Yeah. Most of this hadith, yeah, most of it, not everything, because Amr bil Ma'ruf wa Nahi anil Munkar, you don't do to yourself, you do to others. But the rest of it, the dhikr, etc., is all to you're doing yourself and you're benefiting yourself. Other people don't benefit from my doing Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah. I'm benefiting. Allah certainly doesn't benefit from it, and other human beings don't. I'm the one benefiting. So, two categories. And we'll deal with the first one. That is of giving to others, but this time not materially. Yeah, not materially. And that can become come clearly under wa amrin bil ma'roof, as in the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, and standing for that which is right and just. That means also calling for that which is right and just. Yeah, and standing against that which is evil and wrong. And that includes giving advice and guiding people the way, bringing people to Islam, those who are Muslims, in a beautiful manner, showing them by example and otherwise, giving reminder so that they realize all of that. Yeah, and doing good to people is part of standing for that which is right, just and good. Yeah, ihsan. Yeah, and not harming them, because that would be going against, that would be doing munkar to others. So all that is behavior towards other people. In that is a sadaqah. And actually, and this is non-material. So that would be, that's why we mentioned the hadith last time, which said, kullu ma'rufin sadaqah. Yeah, in one version, Bukhari Muslim, it said, all good things, doing good and just things and kind things is a charity. Yeah. And another version in Tirmidhi, we mentioned the Prophet ﷺ, kullu ma'roof is sadaqah, all good things are a sadaqah, the charity. Wa inna min al ma'roof an talqa akhaka bi wajhin talq. And from those good things is to meet your brother or sister, yeah, means a human brother or sister. yeah, with a smiling face. Naturally, that's in general sense. If you see people who are doing haram in front of you or something which is munkar, you're not going to be smiling at them, are you? Yeah, somebody's knocking down a pint of glass and you're sitting with them smiling. I mean, it's inappropriate. I think either you see, and somebody gives you bad news that, you know, somebody died in the family and you're smiling at them, I think you perhaps you need to see a psychiatrist. No, we're talking about in a general sense. Yeah, a smile making somebody feel good, because rather than giving them a dirty look for no reason. وأن تفرغ من دلوك في إناء أخيك. Yeah, this hadith was also mentioned that the water, that you're sharing the water with another person. Yeah. And aside from that, as we'll see from the hadith that's going to come, hadith number 26, it'll have other aspects as well. Aside from smiling, I mean, it could be. Ibn Rajab quite rightly says that perhaps the sadaqah that you give, which is not material, perhaps that's more virtuous than actually just giving some pounds and pennies away. Yeah? Because perhaps calling somebody to Islam, is that more beneficial to the person who's in disbelief than actually giving them money? Of course it is. Of course it is. And calling somebody, inviting them in a beautiful way to obey Allah and His Messenger and not the opposite, yeah, is that more beneficial for the person that you're calling than money? Of course it is. Yeah, of course it is. Giving somebody knowledge and understanding to benefit them, that can often be better than actually giving them financial aid. Removing something harmful from the road, yeah, which will benefit lots of people, yeah, can be better than actually giving finance, yeah. Saying something good in words to people, kindness, yeah, or speaking the truth and speaking just all that's from ma'ruf, yeah, in it is a sadaqah. And that can be better than money that you give. So much so that Allah SWT says in the Quran, قَوْلٌ مَعْرُوفٌ وَمَغْفِرَةٌ خَيْرٌ قَوْلٌ مَعْرُوفٌ وَمَغْفِرَةٌ خَيْرٌ مِنْ صَدَقَةٍ يَتْبَعُهَا أَذَى. A good word. Yeah. And forgiveness is better than charity that you give, which is followed by foul words, right? So you give charity in a material sense, and then you are nasty with the person and look down upon them and treat them as though I've done you so much favors. Yeah, like you're like a beggar, you know, treat them like that. That kind of charity is not going to be accepted anyway. That becomes sinful. That's what Allah's saying is better. If you're going to do that, that don't give the material help and say good words instead. Yeah, benefit them that way. Yeah. So bringing out the point again that non-material benefit to others can be of more virtuous and greater reward. So many ahadiths. One of them is going to come, as I said before many times, in Ahmad ibn Hibban, in Bukhari Muslim. About, for example, removing something, tumitul adha anit tariq, yeah, in it is a sadaqah. Wa tusmi'ul asam, making a deaf person hear. What does it mean by making a deaf person? The deaf, so deaf doesn't mean they can't hear at all. Deaf means that they are hard of hearing, so you speak louder to them, kindly, to help them understand what somebody else is saying or what you're trying to say. So they understand and they're guided by that. Then, وَتَهْدِي الْأَعْمَى وَتَهْدِي الْأَعْمَى وَتَدُلُّ الْمُسْتَدِلُ عَلَىٰ هَاجَتِهِ. And to guide a blind person, yeah, guide them across the road, guide them in a difficult situation, tell them what it says, etc. Yeah, or to show the way to somebody who's lost their way. All that is part of non-material help, but all of it is under giving sadaqah. Removing something harmful, removing a bone from the road, yeah, that's lying around, which could be harmful, is a sadaqah. Or removing thorns from the pathway, for example, a bush of thorns or some thorns, anything like that. Banana skin from the pavement in case somebody slips on it and breaks something or injures themselves. So this kind of thing is in this category. Now, Ibn Rajab here discusses that ulama, scholars of Islam, were in two groups in regards to doing the everyday charitable things and good things. One said, we don't have for everything that we do of good as believers, we don't have to make an intention each time. The other group said, no, and Ibn Rajab inclines towards that group. No, you have to have the intention to do that to please Allah, otherwise you're not going to be rewarded for it. And sometimes you may even be sinning. Yeah, but the sinning one, everybody agreed on. If you're doing it as a disbeliever, yeah, there's no benefit because you don't believe in Allah. You're not doing it to please Allah. You don't believe in His paradise. You're not doing it to save yourself from the hellfire. You don't believe in the day of judgment. So your motive, as I said earlier on, is purely yourself. It's a dunya motive only. Yeah, either to feel good or worse, to show off to people. So even for believers, doing anything good to show off to the person or to show off to others that, look, mashallah, he's such a charitable, isn't he a great person? Yeah. That is sinful because you're not doing it to please Allah, you're doing it some worldly gain. And showing off is to do with linked with pride and therefore negative. Yeah. So all agreed about that. So the one group, which I think is, in my opinion, the best opinion, linked with the first hadith we did, that deeds are only judged by intentions. And if you remember that hadith, we said that intention was to focus on ibadat especially. Yeah. So when you have something like ibadah, salah, and sawm, we specially focus our minds. We don't just willy-nilly do it without thinking. Yeah. To focus our minds, go to Umrah, Hajj, this is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm doing His worship. Yeah. So in ibadah. But generally, the first group mentioned by Ibn Rajab are those because they say a believer has already made a choice to choose Islam and submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When they've made that choice, their intention's already there now in being a believer. So everything they do is linked always around that. Yeah, so they'll stay away from haram, like the example given by the Prophet in this very hadith of the sexual act when it's done in a haram way, they're staying away from it. When they do it in a halal way, this group of scholars say, well, he's just going to bed with his wife or she's going to bed with her husband. Yeah, they don't have to particularly sit there, focus, make an intention, but it's counted as halal and therefore it's a sadaqah and they're rewarded for it. Yeah. The other group say it requires you to make the right intention for it to be rewardable. So this is a debate from scholars and Ibn Rajab. Further goes on to let me just get that. Many says from the Quran, he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, because he's inclined to the view that you have to have the niyyah for each of these, the intention for each of these, even if you're a believer. And he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, la khayra fi kathirin min najwahum illa man amara bi sadaqatin aw ma'rufin aw islahin bayna an-nas wa man yaf'al dhalika bitigha'a mardatillahi fasawfa nu'tihi ajran 'azima. There's no good in much of the secret meetings that people have, except the ones who get together and the one who is in those meetings, standing for giving in charity and doing good things, yeah, or making amends between people, making peace between people. Whoever does this, seeking the pleasure of Allah, as the Quran says, then soon Allah says we will give them a great reward. Yeah. The other scholars say the idea here of seeking the reward, seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is there in a believer already. What we need to avoid as believers, as long as we avoid ria, which is showing off and just for worldly benefit, then we are covered by that verse already. Yeah, because ria is linked with shaitan, as I said before, linked with takabbur. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nisa, verse 38, he says, وَالَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ رِئَاءَ النَّاسِ وَلَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَلَا بِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَمَنْ يَكُنِ الشَّيْطَانُ لَوْ قَرِينًا فَسَاءَ قَرِينًا. Those who spend from their wealth, yeah, seeking to show off to people. Yeah, look what it says straight after. And they do not believe in Allah or believe in the last day. Yeah, so that means disbelievers. But it also means if a believer is doing it for that purpose, it is like they don't believe in Allah and the last day, because they're not doing it for that reason. Because reality is that shaitan believed in Allah, knows and accepted Allah exists, but the pride took him away. So ria is linked with pride. To behave that way, yeah, it's like you are denying Allah and the last day. And what does Allah say? He says after that, and whoever, yeah, shaitan becomes a companion to. وَمَنْ يَكُنِ الشَّيْطَانُ لَهُ قَرِينًا فَسَاءَ قَرِينًا. What a terrible and evil companion that is. Yeah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the ayah after that says, وَمَا لَهُمْ لَوْ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَبِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَأَنْفَقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقَهُمُ اللَّهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِهِ عَلِيمٌ. I think that's the ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what is the problem? You know, what's stopping them? If they just believed in Allah and believed in the last day, which is the reality, in other words, what's the problem for them? Believe in Allah in the last day and then spend still, but spend from that which Allah has provided them. Yeah, look at the recognition now that whatever I have spending, if I'm doing it to show off to people, I've forgotten the fact that Allah gave me it in the first place. It's not mine anyway. Mimma razaqahumullah. Yeah. And Allah is absolutely fully aware of them, meaning what's in their hearts and what they're about, those who are not doing that. Now, so two types of sadaqah, which is non-material. We've covered one type. The second type is sadaqah to oneself. Yeah. You're actually giving charity to yourself. Yeah. Min as-sadaqah. وَنَحْوُهُ قَاصِرًا عَلَى فَائِلِهِ. Its benefit is limited to the one who's doing it. That is now to do with saying Subhanallah, glory be to Allah. Remember what I said last time about with meaning, how, because it's going to affect my heart and make me more submit to Allah and make me realize who Allah is. You know, how when I say Allah is the greatest, praise be and thanks to Allah, then it makes me full of humility. That's what it's meant to do. If it's not doing that, I've missed the point. Yeah, I've missed the point. And various ahadith mentioned about doing it 33 times after salah. Yeah, similar to this hadith, or 10 times after salah. Alhamdulillah and Subhanallah and Allahu Akbar. Or doing salatul duha as an extra prayer. So notice these are all extra beyond the fard prayer, beyond the obligatory prayer. Being encouraged to do these things to give more benefit to yourself. Now, before I carry on with that, it's interesting that the reality is, and this is, I'm mentioning this, that actually the other two categories, right, there's giving sadaqa of wealth to others, right? That's one category. Then second category, giving to others non-material, yeah, the stuff we mentioned already. And the third, yeah, which is sadaqa to yourself by doing zikr and worship and extra and remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and praising Him, etc. Those are the three. The third one we said is to benefit yourself, is a sadaqah and charity for yourself. Actually, all of them are a charity to yourself. Why do I say that? Question. It's not a rhetorical question, it's actually a question. Why do I say that?
Actually, it is a question so asking you as well. That because you said when we are doing sadaqah, we are doing for our benefit. Then this is the question, when you said sadaqah to yourself, so all sadaqahs are actually benefiting to ourselves, isn't it? So why would you say this as a separate sentence?
Yeah, I asked the question, you're asking me the question instead.
Yeah, because this is the question.
No, look, reality is, the reason why it's been divided like that, which is a reality, because you know, the division's correct in a sense as well, because one is giving materials, yeah, and wealth from your wealth to others. You are giving to others, you know, so you're giving sadaqah to others. That's how the Quran and Hadith talk about it. The second is giving to others as well, a smile, helping, etc., etc., in many ways, teaching. And the third, the reason why the third is separated, because it's not dealing with others. So it is different. It is actually you doing dhikr, which is only to yourself now. It is not helping others in any way, as I said clearly. So there is a difference in this third category, that the third one of doing dhikr and my worship or my dhikr is really totally a benefit to me. The other two are of benefit to others. But what I'm saying is they are also of benefit to me as well. Yeah, they're also of benefit to me. This is only of benefit to me. So the other two categories, actually, as some scholars said, and I'm with them, and there's plenty to and even sense tells us that, are greater reward than, yeah, this is the difference between an abid, a worshipper, and the mujahid, yeah, or a scholar. Yeah, those going out helping others, yeah, are not the same level as those who are just sitting inside doing dhikr. Both are rewardable acts, yeah, rewardable, but the greater one is that which is done outside to help others and benefit others. Yeah, so they are all in the end going to benefit the one giving the sadaqah, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, he says, وَمَنْ جَاهَدَ فَإِنَّمَا يُجَاهِدُ لِنَفْسِهِ. What does that mean?
You are doing a jihad against the best jihad is against your nafs.
No, it doesn't mean that here. It's saying whoever strives and struggles, meaning in the way of Allah and doing good and staying away from bad, then they are striving for their own good. وَمَنْ يَشْكُرْ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ لِنَفْسِهِ وَمَنْ يَشْكُرْ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ لِنَفْسِهِ. What does that mean?
Those who do shukr, they do shukr for themselves.
I mean, those who are thanking Allah, then they are doing that thanking for their own benefit, aren't we?
Yes.
Because we benefit. Allah doesn't need my shukr. Allah doesn't need my striving and jihad. Yeah. Allah SWT says in the Quran, "Man amila salihan falinafsihi wa man asa'a fa'alayha." Yeah. Whoever does good deeds, falinafsihi, it is for their own good. That covers what we've just been talking about, doesn't it? Allah's telling us in the Quran, whoever does good deeds, this is giving sadaqah, helping others, smiling at somebody, helping somebody remove something harmful from the road, giving da'wah, whoever does any amal salih, then it is for their own good. And whoever does an evil, an asa'a fa'alayha, it'll come back to haunt them, it'll be upon them. The sin of it will be upon them. ثُمَّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ تُرْجَعُونَ. Then to your Lord you will all return. Yeah? The good and the bad, meaning the consequences, notice the ayah when how it ends, because it's bringing you back to the day of judgment when the good and bad are going to be weighed up. Subhanallah. Yeah. So this is a very important point. But the difference is now the dhikr is not going to benefit anybody but myself, only exclusively myself. Yeah. Ibn Rajab, interestingly, then I'm going to stop there actually, because I've gone over an hour. So I'm afraid we haven't finished with it because there's a few things. I haven't taken the last part of the hadith yet, which is very interesting. And I'll stop there for Ibn Rajab for what he says. And for the next session, because he mentions here, this is what we'll discuss to begin with next time. He says, وَقَدْ تَكَاثُرَتْ النَّسُوسُ بِذِكْرِ تَفْدِيلِ الذِّكْرِ عَلَى الصَّدَقَةِ بِالْمَالِ. He said there's lots of evidences, according to Ibn Rajab, which shows the more that dhikr, remembering Allah, is of greater virtue than giving sadaqah to others with wealth. And we will look at that and see whether I agree with that or disagree with that. Rahimahullah, Ibn Rajab. Barakallahu feekum. Open to questions of what we've covered today, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh. Jazakallah khairan again.
Assalamu rahmatullah.
Summary. I just wanted to ask you, in terms of the spending on one's family, was it understood by the Sahaba in terms of how far that extends? Is it to the immediate family members only, or to the extended family, or by virtue of that, even to neighbors?
You're welcome. Of course, it begins with the father, husband. Let's be very clear, and the father. He is responsible. الرِّجَالُ قَوَّمُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ بِمَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بَعْضَكُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ وَبِمَا أَنفَقُوا مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ. Yeah, this is a squarely the responsibility of the males, mm-hmm. the father and the husband, not on women, any of financial responsibility. So it begins with the wife and the children. And then beyond that, if the one's parents, if they are dependent and they don't have any means, yeah, because with the parents, not one person, but other sons will also be responsible. But with your own family, wife and children, only you are responsible. Yeah. So yes. The Quran indicates that as well, that from that they come next if they are needy for being taken care of. And then it goes gradually as the family gets the closest to that, you know, brothers and sisters, etc., depending on their financial circumstances. Hence the idea of zakat as well. But generally zakat, the idea was the state distributes it. So sadaqa, you begin with those that are in the ever widening circles. And the qurba, yeah, the relatives take priority. Yeah, this is the wider relatives. Then come neighbors and others, and it goes wider in that sense as well.
Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Can I just ask you a question, please? I just, you know, you're talking about intention. And I was just sort of thinking, because, you know, I talk to non-Muslims quite a lot and generally sort of, so, you know, intention, is there a distinction between doing like good deeds or sadaqah for the sake of Allah, for pleasing him or obeying him, or to get a place in Jannah for good reward? Because can you see there's a bit of a distinction in that one is sort of because of your relationship with the Allah, and the other one is to get to Jannah. Do you see?
And it becomes selfish. Saying.
Yeah, it is not
distinction. No, some people say, yeah, I've heard this from atheists who say, well, you're being selfish. You're just doing it to get to paradise. But the reality is that selfishness and selflessness is because that to get to paradise is teaching us to be selfless while we live in this world. Atheist is only dealing with the limited vision and closing off to the reality of the hereafter. And in the hereafter, there is hell as well. So it is not selfish to try and avoid everlasting hell and to want to go to paradise and to please Allah. Go to paradise and please Allah is exactly the same thing. Yeah, because it means even if it's been saved from hellfire. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَىٰ مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ, and rush all of you to the forgiveness of your Lord. What is it? وَجَنَّةٍ أَرْضُهَا. Yeah, it is a paradise. Allah's forgiveness, Allah's pleasure is His paradise. Yeah. So the reality is that who doesn't want to be saved from on the day of judgment and want to escape the hellfire? Yeah. Now you bring that into the equation. As far as this life is concerned, yeah, our Creator is telling us to be actually selfless.
Okay,
JazakAllah
Khair. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Assalamu alaikum,
Dr. Muni. Alaikum assalam.
Not a question, just a request. Can you, when you do the Quran, the verses from the Quran, can you tell us the ayah number and the surah so I can add on in my notes, because I'm trying to make up the notes.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry. I think I only mentioned the last one, didn't I? Surah 4, verse 38. Yes. And the one before that is Surah number 4, verse 114.
Yeah. And I could understood the first one you said from the Surah Baqarah, where when you a good word is better than that is from the Surah Baqarah. So inshallah, if you can just tell us
I don't mind you asking me or interject and just say what verse was that, please, in future. Inshallah. Okay,
inshallah, jazakallah
khair. Welcome. Any other questions?
Sorry, Dr. Munir Suhail. Sorry, I felt.
You don't need to be sorry. Assalamu alaikum. How are you?
Assalamu alaikum. I'm fine.
This is for you guys to ask questions. Don't be sorry.
I felt silly last time when we're talking about the good deeds, and I felt that it might be a very silly question to ask. But I mean, mashallah, the beautiful way that you kind of do this share al hadith that you try and think about. And my mind kind of wanders around whether what would be the best deed, or most, you know, acceptable or most sweetest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you should try to do when you have so many around to look for and to strive for. What the prophets, for example, went for the best deeds to do, which will be most dear to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
What would be the best? You see, number one, Allah through His mercy has made it so wide open for us to gain good deeds, hasn't He? I mean, when the hadith talk about smiling, removing something harmful from the road, growing a plant, they're not limited because the list is endless, is it not, brothers and sisters, of good works? The job of the Quran, hadith, and the Prophet speaking is not to give you endless list, because the list is vast and endless anyway. Yeah. So that's the first thing. Perhaps what puts it into context is that if somebody is in need of learning, and they have food and water, and you give them food and water, then the better thing would be to give them learning, would it not? Education. Yeah. So these are things that we have to put into context to try and realize and understand what is most benefit. This is wisdom, isn't it? But if you want to go originally always to the best of the things you can do, then a hadith, they're there when they ask the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So he would always mention, of course, ibadah and worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not associating any partners with Him. And the Quran tells us that. Then after that, what does Quran link with ibadah of Allah, and no shirk with Him? What does Quran link with that? And many hadith as well after that.
Yes, of course. For example, Qard Hasana, if we talk about, is one of the best deeds to do in terms of sadaqah.
It is not being isolated as one. Why I mentioned what I've just mentioned, Quran links ihsan to parents, does it not? Because you're asking for the best deeds. So it begins with Allah, and His worship, and not doing shirk with Him. And then ihsan to parents, you can't get, better deeds than that. You could be, if you're not doing ihsan, being good with your parents, and you're being terrible with them, you can be going out doing charitable acts there, but you've left something which is of a greater and higher priority, is it not?
Of course.
Which you'll be sinning with. And Qardh Hasana just comes in the general category of financial sadaqah, giving to others. Yeah. It's included in that card, included in those categories. It's a way of helping others. But you're talking about loaning here, giving a loan.
Yeah. Jazakumullah.
Any other questions? طيب. I think the silence says it.
جزاك الله خيرا دكتور منير. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome all of you. May Allah bless you.
Today I really remembered to come, and again I forgot, but inshallah ta'ala from next week I will be very very regular inshallah based then.
All right, I don't notice whether you're missing or not, don't worry about it. I know. And give us tawfiq from us, sister. And remember, as in your du'as, we have one more session before I go away. I'm going away to Umrah first and then a few weeks away after that. So inshallah, next session, we will complete this hadith bi'idhnillah ta'ala. Barakallahu feekum.
Jazakallah khair, Sheikh.
Take care, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa rahmatullah.